Looking at our lesson here. So I gave you last week, this is just the larger catechism questions on the Ten Commandments. And this is not, the purpose of this is not going to be, this is not them, this is stuff that we've already had. So if anybody wants this older stuff, and it's got the big H, it ends in, in that H thing. If anybody wants it in color, feel free, there's tons of them up here to get them. So, I'm not going to, the purpose of this is not going to be to go into detail on what is the first commandment and the second commandment and so on teach. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm giving this to us in the context of trying to understand the relationship of the law, the three parts of the law, to one another. That's the only reason I'm giving this to us. And I thought about this because it's so detailed, as you guys will see as we go through it, that as the Puritans are writing what's forbidden in the first commandment, you're going to see things you're like, wow, I never even thought about that. And really all I want us to do is go through and maybe look at a couple of them. I mean, we could go through all of them if we want, but focusing on a couple of questions. One would be, are they going too far in what they're saying? And it's just kind of an opinion thing. I just kind of want to get sense for where you guys are at on it. Because they're not perfect and this is not inspired scripture. And then the second one is, do you see any kind of overlaps in any of these with the civil and the ceremonial law? As we're looking specifically at what the Puritans taught is forbidden and commanded in the Ten Commandments. Okay, so that's kind of we're kind of taking a step farther than in what we have looked at before in terms of as we saw the different tables of the Ten Commandments, like in Leviticus 19 there, we saw that, look, they're all represented, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's there too. And then we'll, you know, once we get out of this, whether it's this week or next week or whatever, then we're going to move into actually thinking about the civil law and the ceremonial law. So let's just kind of go through a couple of these, see how far we get. And the first question is, what is the sum of the four commandments which contain our duty to God? This is just a summary, really, of where we've been. The sum of the four commandments containing our duty to God is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. We've seen that, right? So that's the sum of the first four commandments. So, the next question is, what's the first commandment? The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. So this is breaking up the Ten Commandments according to classical, rabbinical, and Protestantism. Obviously, Rome and others have split them different, but we'll just go with this. So that's first commandments, no other gods before me. So now, you can see questions 1 and 4 and 105 are pretty long, and that's what we're going to look at. What are the duties required in the first commandment? The duties required in the first commandment are the knowing and acknowledging of God to be the only true God, our God, to worship and glorify him accordingly by thinking, meditating, remembering, highly esteeming, honoring, adoring, choosing, loving, desiring, fearing of him, believing him, trusting, hoping, delighting, rejoicing in him, being zealous for him, calling upon him, giving all praise and thanks, yielding all obedience and submission to him with the whole man, being careful in all things to please him, and sorrowful when anything he is offended, and walking humbly with him. That's a lot of stuff. Those are the duties required in the first commandment, according to the Puritans and larger catechism. Now, anything that you see there that strikes you as, well, I don't know about that. I'll give you a minute just to kind of look over it. Second question, if you have one of those, let me know. Second question, do you see anything overlapping ceremonial or civil law? What do you think?
Civil things, for example, how you interact with other people in your
Interesting. Okay, so she's saying that in all things we do, we want to please God, and so that would by necessity have to include our civil relationships. Anybody, you guys agree with that?
Yes, but doesn't it include worship?
And worship would be the ceremonial part, wouldn't it? Specifically. I mean, it literally says to worship and glorify him accordingly. Now, what's the commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. But they're saying that this means you are required to worship and glorify God. Now, isn't that interesting? Because you might think, well, it's just purely a moral duty. But moral duties have to be worked out in real life, don't they? In specific circumstances. Worship is ceremonial. All things, like Dory said, has to also include civil.
I was thinking specifically the instruction on how to worship.
From the question, what are you thinking? Any specific things that are in there?
Well, being careful to do all things to please him.
Okay, so you're thinking, so you're moving the all things into the ceremonial as well as civil. So that would mean that we've got indirect evidence for ceremonial and civil, and we have direct evidence for ceremonial, because it actually uses the language of worship him. This is kind of off topic from what we're doing, but in some ways not. And especially if we pair it with the sermons in the last 3 weeks talking about faith, and especially today talking about the kind of the third component of faith, which is what? Delighting, rejoicing. You see those words in there? Believing him, trusting, hoping. Isn't that interesting? At the very heart of what's required in the first commandment is that you have faith in God. It's required of you to have faith in him. So in other words, the commandment isn't just a moral duty to do something. It's you have to do it with your heart. And where do you do it? You do it everywhere that you're at. And that includes these other aspects of life, specific things that we do in civil and ceremonial life.
I don't know exactly how this ties, but he keeps on bringing me back to what my wife and I were talking about on the way to church today. We were talking about obedience to God. Can actually tie back into seeking God's will and knowing God's will for your life. But it seems to me that it's very rarely ever spoken about what that obedience in our walk to God is. And so I went back to what he told me to do. Repent and believe. And we continue in obedience, walking in obedience to God by continuing in our repentance and our obedience. That our belief, our obedience is repenting and believing.
Right.
Because he told us to.
Right.
And I don't know, just as we're talking about this, that constantly comes in my head, that this obedience, walking in obedience to God is not this, oh, what's your will for me in this? What's your will? No, he says repent and believe the gospel. That's our obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And so commandment to God is to repent from believing in false gods, all these other things, and believe in him and serve him in obedience.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I have an observation about the use of the word sorrowful in the very last sentence of that. I've always believed in my heart that before I was saved, I felt guilty when I did something wrong. This now tells us that our guilty feeling has been transformed into a sorrowful feeling. That if you're feeling sorry because you have dishonored God in some way, you don't ask for forgiveness for your guilty sin. It's for the sorrow that exists within you. That restores daily, because it converts that sorrow back to a closeness. And so I really feel that there's a difference between guilt and sorrow.
That's good. Should we go to, let's go forbidden in the first commandment. You can see this is like three times as long. The sins forbidden in the first commandment are atheism, in denying or not having a God, idolatry, in having or worshiping more gods than one, or any with or instead of the true God, not the having and avouching him for God and our God, the omission or neglect of anything due to him. Required in this commandment, ignorance, forgetfulness, misapprehensions, false opinions, unworthy and wicked thoughts of him, bold and curious searching into his secrets, all profaneness, hatred of God, self-love, self-seeking, all other inordinate and immoderate setting of our mind, will, or affections upon any other things, taking them off from him who in whole or in part, vain credulity, unbelief, heresy, misbelief, distrust, despair, incorrigibleness, insensibleness under judgments, hardness of heart, pride, presumption, carnal security, tempting of God, using unlawful means, trusting in lawful means, carnal delights and joys, corrupt, blind, indiscreet zeal, lukewarmness, deadness of things in the things of God, estranging ourselves, apostatizing from God, praying or giving any religious worship to saints, angels, any other creatures, all compacts and consulting with the devil, hearkening to his suggestions, making men the lords of our faith and conscience, slighting and despising God and his commands, resisting and grieving the Spirit, discontent and impatience at his dispensations, charging him foolishly for the evils he inflicts on us, ascribing the praise of any good we either are, have, or can do to fortune, idols, ourselves, or any other creature.
Romans 3:19, the whole world is guilty before God. There
you go. Yep.
Who will save me?
Yep. Yep. Anything in there that you're like, nah, I don't think so? When you think...
using lawful means.
I just thought that was an interesting juxtaposition. So when you think of, well, have no other gods before me, does your mind go to all this? No, probably not. How much of this stuff takes place in your worshipful life, your ceremonial life? Any of it? I would say specifically a bunch of it actually pertains to this. I saw more stuff at the beginning and more at the end than I necessarily saw in the middle, but, you know, consulting with the devil, would that not include ceremonial stuff? Hearkening to his suggestions, religious worships to saints, angels, or any other creatures? How is that not ceremonial in nature? Worshipping more gods than one at the beginning, how's that not ceremonial in nature? Okay, I think a lot of these things also then would go into our civil corporate life, the life that we have with our neighbor, because that's where we would carry out probably most of these kinds of thoughts. You're going to work and all of a sudden you're tempted with something, or you're angry at God for something, because that just happens to be where you're at. Can you guys see my point of what I'm trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that the moral law that we think of as the first commandment, that you're like, well, that's just a moral commandment, everybody has the duty to God for that, it bleeds over into specifics of our lives, and those specifics of our life are ceremonial and civil. Yeah, Carl?
As you were going through the list, it dawned on me how many of these things forbidden were actually part of false worship in other settings, which might be why we don't associate with them well.
Interesting.
We're not pagan worshipers.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, they're listed here specifically, reminding us that there are more ways to worship wrongly than there are to worship rightly.
Absolutely. That's a very Puritan thing of you to say, whether you knew it or not, because the regulative principle, the whole point behind that is not to worship God as he hasn't forbidden, which is almost infinite, but to worship him as he's commanded, which is very few things, as we just finished up when we were looking at the Confession of Faith in chapter 22. Let's look at question 106. What are we specifically taught by these words before me in the first commandment? These words before me, or before my face, and by the way, before my face, the face is a way of speaking of Christ, the presence of God, the face of God. In the first commandment, teach us that God, who sees all things, takes special notice of and is much displeased with the sin of having any other God, that so it may be an argument to dissuade from it, and to aggravate it as most impudent provocation, as also to persuade us to do, as in his sight, whatever we do in his service. In other words, God sees everything you do. He knows everything about you. And that, by its nature, I would think, has to include everywhere that you are, which is not just some abstract moral thing. It's specifics that you're doing in your life, in your family, with your neighbors, at work, at church, when you worship, when you're eating dinner, taking kids to school, whatever the case may be. That's just the first one of these, the first commandment. And that took us 15 minutes to get through that, just basically to read it and just to think a little bit on it. Now, we've got nine more. And I think it probably will be helpful for us to actually go through them. And we can go through them fairly fast in the coming week or two. But the point will be to do the same thing. And just remember that when we're looking at the first four, we're really specifically focusing on our duty to God, which is more ceremonial. So you should see more ceremonial in these. And when we come to our duty to man, we'll probably notice things that are more civil-minded than ceremonial. But I'm sure that there's going to be bleeding over in all 10 of them for both of those things. So the point of this, again, is to help us see, look, God's law breaks down into three parts, but those three parts are not boom, 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 and they're in three different rooms and they will never touch each other. That's not the way this thing works.
Okay? Does this address penalties and punishments, like breaking these things? Are we going to talk about that at all in this series? How a nation sets up their justice system?
We can. I think that would fit probably after we've looked at civil and ceremonial and kind of looked at them specifically, and then we can take a step back and now look at these in terms of a nation, look at them in terms of individuals, look at them in terms of the church. If you think those would be helpful, we can certainly do that.
Your peers that you talk with, you know, Bob Gonzalez, Jeff Smith, they did a paper on should we apply the Law of Moses punishments to America.
Right, yeah, okay, yeah.
Really interesting. I still don't get it, but just throw that out.
Yeah, I think that would certainly fit with what we're trying to do here, because it's part of the aspect of the law that we're trying to understand.
Witches or just
right. Only if she floats.